This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Matt Brown of The Athletic joining us on three-man front on the Natty Seltzer Hotline. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate you joining us. Of course, the big talk here in SEC country is the showdown in the swamp with Auburn and Florida, and you cover all of college football there for The Athletic. Based on what you've seen from these two teams, how can you see this one shaping up and maybe some of the matchups you're looking for?
I lean Auburn. I've been a little bit lower on Florida, I think, than most. I'm an AP voter. I have Florida 13th, their 10th in the poll. It's not like I don't think Florida can be a top 10 team. I've just been a little skeptical. You know, the running game hasn't been there yet this year. Their offensive line's had problems. And while Kyle Trask has done a phenomenal job so far filling in for Felipe Franks, I still think there's questions about how he will handle pressure. And he hasn't seen pressure like what Auburn will generate with their defensive front. So I think that's, you know, that's, the game's going to come down to that. It's what can Florida do to kind of scheme around Auburn's defensive front? We know Dan Mullen is good at that. You know, he puts quarterbacks in position to succeed. We've seen that with Trask so far. But, you know, Florida's biggest question coming into the year is they have one of the most inexperienced offensive lines in the country. And they'll be tested, you know, just more than any other game this year, that they'll be tested against Auburn. And we'll see how Trask handles that. I mean, I think it's the key for both sides. We'll see how Auburn can handle Florida's pressure, which John Grantham could generate. But I lean toward Auburn just because I think they might have, you know, the best defensive front in the country. And I think Florida's offensive line, this is the game that if they're going to lose any because of the offensive line, it's probably this one.
Matt, you mentioned that AP vote that you have, and you have to weekly wrestle with, you know, how do you stack up the large number of unbeatens that we still have with a one-loss team like Notre Dame. But when you're looking at these teams with no loss so far, this is put them in the teams in the top 20. Who's the most vulnerable, you think?
Of the ones with no losses in the top 20, I think Florida's probably going to have a loss after this weekend. So maybe it is the Gators because of the offensive line. I mean, there's a couple teams. I think Boise State is probably, I don't know if they're actually going to prove to be the best group of five team. I think they might be, but I still think they could lose to BYU. They could lose to Air Force. They could even lose to Hawaii. Of the, you know, teams at the top, I do think Auburn is going to drop a couple games. Like, if you look at the resume right now, obviously they're deserving of the ranking. I think you can make an argument they should be higher than seventh just based on what they've accomplished, which is beating Texas and beating Oregon away from home. But I do think, for as good as Bo Nix looked last week, I think there are teams like, you know, even Florida, but Florida, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, that if they can get after more, I still think Auburn can end up, I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up 9-3. I mean, it's just, and that's kind of a product of their schedule. I think Auburn's a good team who's probably going to be in the year six bound, but the schedule is just so difficult that there's still so many potential bumps along the way that I think they're vulnerable in that sense.
Matt, how about the 12th ranked team in the country, Penn State, a team you're very familiar with? They're 4-0. They host Purdue. They're in Happy Valley, 11 a.m. Coming up tomorrow on ESPN. But this is a Penn State team that, I think if you look at their toughest team they played this year, it's been a Pitt team that they struggled with a little bit and won by a touchdown. Is Penn State flying under the radar, or do you think it's been a little bit of smoke and mirrors based on the schedule that they played?
Both, maybe. Is that possible? I mean,
sure.
It's been a strange year so far, just because, you know, even, you know, the first game they blew up Idaho was just a laughable game. Second game, they actually covered the spread against Buffalo, but it was a pretty terrible first half in which Buffalo controlled the clock. And then the Pitt game was kind of the same thing. Penn State, you know, Pitt kind of outcoached him defensively. Pat Narduzzi certainly did outcoach James Franklin in that game, but the Pitt defense got the better of Penn State's offense in that game. And then, you know, after the off week, though, Penn State, I think, kind of took a long look at itself and figured out what the offense needs to be and came out. And Maryland certainly doesn't have a good defense, but, you know, Penn State put its athletes in position to succeed, and Sean Clifford, the redshirt sophomore quarterback, looked more comfortable. So I do think there's always been a high ceiling with this team, potentially. It's just there was so much turnover on offense And the offensive line has been mediocre at best for several, since the NCAA sanctions, really. And, you know, a new quarterback, you know, lose another NFL running back, receiving core drastically underperformed last year, have a offensive coordinator, Ricky Ronnie, who has just a lot of questions about him, whether he's going to be the guy long term. And so we knew there'd be growing pains, and, you know, that we saw on last Friday, that was kind of the potential. But it's, okay, can they get better when they go to Kinnick Stadium next week to play Iowa? They have a three-game stretch here coming up, Iowa, Michigan, at Michigan State. But, you know, the season does kind of build up to where they don't play Ohio State until November 23rd. So, you know, I have Ohio State number one right now. I think Ohio State's clearly the team to beat in the Big Ten. But the way Penn State has recruited, everything was kind of pointing to 2020 maybe is the high expectations. But there was always a chance they could be ahead of expectations. And if they progress early, absolutely they should not be slept on as a Big Ten title contender.
Joined by Matt Brown, covers college football for The Athletic. You know, a lot of us going into this season thought, you know, maybe Alabama and Clemson were the class of college football again. And who knows, it may turn out to be that way. But they have certainly shown some vulnerability through five games, and more teams have stepped up, like LSU, as you mentioned, Ohio State. Looking through the eyeball test and what you've seen, how many teams do you think are remaining that realistically have a shot to win a national championship?
I'd say it's probably still that top six, with apologies to Auburn fans. I do think Auburn is really good, and I mean, they're probably going to challenge in the SEC West. But, you know, I did research this week because, you know, it seems like it's been weird because Alabama and Clemson have looked more vulnerable than expected, as I think everybody would agree. But it's also been a very chalky year in that this is the first time in 50 years that the top six at the end of September are the same six teams as the preseason. Now, the order is a little different now, but just those six teams are the same from the preseason to the end of September for the first time since 1969. So wow. We haven't seen any of those teams really show huge weaknesses. I mean, we know Clemson and Alabama are still really good, both capable of winning the national title. But, I mean, we'll see. Ohio State hasn't played much of anybody yet. Oklahoma hasn't played much of anybody yet. Alabama, schedule hasn't been great yet. So all these teams are still to be tested, but I think we probably go six deep. I think Auburn and Wisconsin are the type of teams that if everything broke right, they could get to the playoff, but I don't think they're capable of winning the national title, but I think the top six could win the national title.
You mentioned Ohio State. We've got a game coming up tomorrow in Ann Arbor, Michigan hosting a team that has yet to be beaten this season in Iowa. This Iowa team, they had the win, a close win after a weather delay over the rival Iowa State. But after that, you start looking at the schedule. Who have they really played? Are you buying Iowa? And do you think possibly Michigan bounces back this week and gets the win at home?
This is a tough one. Like, the point spread, Michigan's a 3.5-point favorite. I think most people probably would say, well, Iowa's going to win because everybody's just totally out on Michigan. And I do like the matchup for Iowa of their defensive front against Michigan's offensive line, which is, you know, surprisingly problematic for the Wolverines. And I think, you know, a big reason they got blown out by Wisconsin, big reason they almost lost to Army. And, you know, Iowa is very strong up front. A.J. Epenesa is one of the best players in the country overall and at the defensive ends. So, you know, I picked Iowa to win the Big Ten West going into the year. I would lean toward Wisconsin now, but I still think Iowa is a legit threat there. It's just, you know, Nate Stanley at quarterback's been an up-and-down player. He doesn't have those two first-round picks at tight end anymore. So can they go on the road? And Michigan's been a better team at home than on the road, certainly in the past few years. They've won more big games at home than on the road. I think I lean toward Iowa just because I'm just selling. I bought into Michigan before the year, and I'm just out now because they're not showing anything. But I think it is kind of a toss-up. I'm going to go Iowa, but I think it's a close game. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Michigan bounce back and get a win at home at least.
Matt, Wisconsin kind of came back to earth last week in a hard-fought win over Northwestern after basically blowing the doors off Michigan the week before. The Badgers talented enough to even challenge Ohio State?
I doubt it. I mean, the thing with Wisconsin is I'm still very skeptical of the passing game. We know Jonathan Taylor is just fantastic at running back. Their offensive line lost a bunch, but they're still really good up front. I just doubt that their passing game can hold up against a team like Ohio State, especially with so far, at least what we've seen from Ohio State, is a much improved defense. You know, last year the defense was very, very vulnerable, gave up a lot of big plays. But we know there's talent there, and that talent so far at least is showing. So it's always the question, I think it's been asked a lot about Wisconsin in recent years, is, okay, they're good enough to get to the playoff, but could a team like that actually beat two Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State-type teams and win the national title? I think most years, no, and I think this year, I don't see it. I just think Ohio State has too much firepower. So, I don't know. It's possible. Maybe Michigan is just that mediocre, and we oversold what Wisconsin did in that game. But, you know, I do think Wisconsin's very good. I think they're going to win double-digit games. I think they're going to go to a New Year's Six game. But can they beat Ohio State, and which they it's not only potentially in the Big Ten title game. They got to go to Columbus October 26th. I don't think they can. I'm too skeptical of the passing game.
All right, Matt, speaking of Ohio State, we'll stick with the Buckeyes. Right now, based on what you've seen through five games, what you've seen from Alabama, who would you favor in that matchup if they were to play tomorrow, Alabama or Ohio State?
Well, I guess I have to say Ohio State because I did put Ohio State number one on my AP ballot this week despite the fact that they don't really have marquee wins. So right now I'd go Ohio State just because, look, I mean, we'll see when – I mean, I'm not big on Michigan State right now because I have problems with their offense, but the Michigan State defense is going to tell us a lot about the growth of Justin Fields tomorrow. Michigan State is fantastic defensively and can limit J.K. Dobbins in that Ohio State running game. So I think we are going to learn a lot more about Ohio State this weekend. Where I would say Ohio State right now is just because Alabama's defense is more vulnerable than it's been, you know, with all that youth, with all the freshmen playing. You know, you look at Justin Fields right now, he's a guy who's thrown 16 touchdowns, no interceptions, has 7 rushing touchdowns. We know they have receivers. We know they have running backs. So just because of those problems with Alabama right now, I would give the edge to Ohio State. But, you know, I also expect those Alabama defenders, those young defenders, to get more comfortable as the season goes on. And my answer could certainly be different in December versus early October.
All right. Well, I was going to ask you of the teams that are in that conversation as far as winning the national championship, those six teams, who you have the least amount of confidence in, and maybe it was Clemson. But you can answer it if you want to.
It's an interesting question. You know, I was having a similar conversation a couple of days ago about Clemson. It's like, should they, you know, I have them number four, and it's like, should they be like seventh or eighth right now? I mean, based on the way they played, it's still, they're kind of getting the benefit of the doubt. I still think they have, you know, I think everybody agrees that they have national championship potential this year. If Trevor Lawrence starts playing like he did against Alabama last year with those receivers, those running backs, you know, the talent they still have on defense, we know they're capable of it. Right now, they probably appear the most vulnerable. I'm still skeptical of Oklahoma's defense. Like, you know, when they play at Texas, when they play Oklahoma State, you know, not that they're going to lose to those teams, but I'm skeptical of their defense holding up in back-to-back games in a playoff situation. You know, I think we shouldn't oversell the progress they've made. I still think the jury's still out there, so in that respect, I'd probably say Oklahoma, just because I still don't know if the defense is going to be there to actually win the national championship.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said. Talking about Trevor Lawrence, like if he plays like he's capable, my whole question is, why is he not playing like he's capable?
Yeah.
I mean, besides Texas A&M, who the heck have they played?
Yeah, and I think their offensive line is probably taking a step back as well. I think their offensive line maybe even outperformed their talent last year, and something's definitely been a little bit off with Lawrence. I mean, he's already thrown more interceptions than he did all of last season, and you do get a little bit of that feel, like, you know, Deshaun Watson last year, he threw more interceptions than expected. People were asking, what's wrong with him? And same as Winston the year after he won the Heisman, came back, threw a ton of interceptions. So I don't know if there's anything comparable there, but Alabama knows as well as anybody too that one of the biggest battles that is complacency, and whether, you know, you can get to that level you need to get to win the national championship after winning it. So I don't know if that's what's going on at Clemson. I have my doubts that that's going on just because of the culture Dabo Swinney has established there, but going undefeated is really hard. Going undefeated twice is even harder. And so I don't know if we should be shocked that there have been some cracks. Like, you know, I wrote before the year, I had Clemson number one, I had Alabama number two. I think that was the obvious thing to do. It makes sense. But I also wrote that, you know, no matter how obvious things seem in the preseason, we're always wrong. number one and two have finished in the top two in either order only five times since 1950 when the preseason poll started. So we're almost always wrong. And enough of these other teams have shown enough potential that I'm comfortable predicting right now. Yeah, I don't think Clemson is going to win the national title. I had them preseason number one, but even when I had them preseason number one, I still had my doubts because history says we're going to be wrong. Things are going to go wrong. A lot of things, even when you're really talented, you have to be lucky to win a national title. You have to stay healthy. Everybody's got to play to the best ability. And we've seen teams that looked like locks, like 2015 Ohio State, just something was wrong, even though they had so much talent. 2014 Florida State, they brought so much talent from the national championship winner, and a couple things were off. It didn't quite click, and maybe that's what's happened with Clemson.
Well, we've started it here, Matt. The doubting of Clemson, the skepticism of this Clemson team, and we're putting them back on the Roy bus, and that's when Dabo and the Clemson Tigers respond. That's what they've been waiting on. They've wanted us to lower our expectations.
How much are they going to be tested? Like, how much are they going to be tested in this regular season? Like,
they're not.
It's just the interesting thing. Like, I don't know if we're going to know how good Clemson is until the playoff. Because, I mean, who's the best team left on their schedule? Wake Forest? Like, it's
yeah. Yeah, and if they play maybe a Virginia in the ACC championship game.
Right, yeah.
Good stuff, Matt. We love talking football with
you. Appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks for taking time.
You got it. Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Matt Brown covers college football at The Athletic. You can read his work there at theathletic.com.
This is Three Man Front.